And we're staying with Donald Trump's trade war and the 20% reciprocal tariffs on the EU. We'll be joined by Peter Burke, Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment. But first, let's hear from Donald Trump. He unveiled a 10% minimum tariff on most goods imported to the United States with a higher 20% rate for the European Union.
In other words, they charge us, we charge them, we charge them less. So how can anybody be upset? They will be, because we never charge anybody anything. But now we're going to charge. European Union, they're very tough, very, very tough traders. You know, you think of European Union, very friendly. They rip us off. It's so sad to see. It's so pathetic. 39%, we're going to charge them 20%. So we're charging them essentially half.
Speaking from Uzbekistan, Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, said the consequences will be dire.
Let's be clear-eyed about the immense consequences. The global economy will massively suffer. Uncertainty will spiral and trigger the rise of further protectionism. The consequences will be dire also for the most vulnerable countries, which are now subject to some of the highest US tariffs. The opposite of what we wanted to achieve. The tariffs will also hurt consumers around the world. It will be felt immediately. Millions of citizens will face higher grocery bills. Medication will cost more, as well as transportation. Inflation will go up. And this is hurting in particular the most vulnerable citizens.
Ursula von der Leyen there. Minister Peter Burke, good morning to you. Thanks for
coming
into us. That scary stuff from both Donald Trump and from Ursula von der Leyen by way of response. There are bosses in boardrooms up and down this country this morning, and they're trying to figure out the implications of this 20% tariff from the United States. And they're probably asking themselves, what do we need to do? Do we need to cut production? Do we need to cut jobs? How are we going to survive? What is your message to them?
Well, first of all, I would say for any open economy that relies on rules-based, free, fair trade and counters protectionism, this presents a very significant challenge. And what I would say to people who are considering their position this morning, critically, be calm. We will have a measured approach to this. We have and are tackling this problem from a position of strength in the Irish economy. We have 2.8 million people employed. We have a budgetary surplus. We have quadrupled our capital expenditure in the last decade. And also what we're doing in a European context, which I think is very clever and calm, is that we're going to assess the response that we had yesterday from the US and really work on countermeasures, but critically give a period of time to negotiate. Because one of the things that jumps off the page at me is when Donald Trump, the president, refers to 39% from a European context and 10% from a UK context. So I would have to have a look at, first of all, where is he getting the 39% from? Obviously, is he looking at VAT? Is he looking at digital regulation? But when I look at the UK, they also have VAT as a tax. So I think there is a very significant opportunity.
But Minister, does any of that matter here in you know, how you slice and dice this? Because President Trump has said of the European Union, they're very tough traders. They rip us off. It's pathetic. He's fighting back. Should Ursula von der Leyen, should the European Union now retaliate and come out strongly and fight back too?
Well, I think we have to be very clever about this. We have to be calm. We have to really have a look at what are the key areas that we can control. So firstly, we are meeting the trade forum as a government on Friday, and we'll be talking through with the various different sectors where the vulnerabilities lie. And then the Taoiseach will go to Luxembourg on Monday to the Foreign Affairs and Trade Council. And that's where the response will be crafted. But in crafting that response, it's important that we have a very significant window to negotiate, because I believe the US were not up for negotiation over the last number of weeks because they were fixated on April the 2nd and the America First presentation that they were making on the 1st. But now, at this point in time, we see the Commerce Secretary, we see the Treasury Secretary yesterday talking about negotiation or last night. And that's going to be important because we have a significant imposition in terms of that 39%. We need to see where is that being made up from, but and is there any areas where the EU can move the dial on that?
In relation to that negotiation that you're hoping for?
Absolutely. Miroslav Šefčovič is ready to negotiate on behalf of the EU.
That's on the European side. I'm talking about the reaching out from the United States side.
The EU will be reaching out to the US, but I believe there is because...
You know, as we know, Ursula von der Leyen hasn't even been in the White House.
Well, I've been watching last night. I think she's been in the White House already, obviously. But watching from
not
last,
during Donald Trump's second tenure.
But watching from last night, listening to the news reports and watching the key interviews with Howard Lutnick and with the Secretary of the Treasury, they have critically said, and we're very clear, that there is an opportunity to negotiate. So that's where we have to try and move this on to, because we need to de-escalate these uncertainties and these tariffs and work clearly. We're trying to land on a space whereby Europe can move, and also where we can try and negotiate downward the tariff, which will serve no one, because the first casualty is the US consumer here in all of this.
Come back to the help, because the casualty from your point of view is the help to those companies in Ireland this morning who are probably tearing their hair out, worrying about how they're going to respond. What help will you give them?
So we work closely with our companies, as we always do, through our state agencies. We have 42 overseas offices that we'll be looking at diversification, like we did post-Brexit, because we saw a huge amount of opportunity, and every significant challenge that we meet, there is huge opportunities in it. But there also are primary and secondary consequences that we have to be aware of, because there will be a significant amount of stock and Chinese inventory that will be redirected to other markets. So the EU needs to have a very clear and concise approach to that. We need to ensure that we avoid dumping in our marketplace. But we really trump on quality. We really trump on innovation, for want of a better word, because that's key for us. And we have diversified over the last number of years. And we see in the Asia-Pacific region, there's a huge amount of opportunity there for us as a country.
OK, there's another factor, though, that you have to take account of here. 10% tariff on Northern Ireland as part of the UK. If the European Union responds, and it is expected the European Union will, and the UK does not respond, does that add another disadvantage to the Republic's economy?
No, well, first of all, I would say that dual market access has always been the core of the Windsor framework for Northern Ireland, and it's a very important asset to the region and for the all-island economy. And one of the critical things in the Windsor framework, it does foresee trade wars to a certain extent, maybe not to this level, but there is a compensation mechanism contained within the Windsor framework which really will respond to the differential between any countermeasures. So essentially, if the European Union makes countermeasures over the next number of weeks and the UK does to a less extent, there is a rebate mechanism contained in the Windsor framework whereby companies can apply to the UK government for a rebate.
Of the difference between what they're losing and the UK.
All that has to be worked out, but that compensation mechanism is clearly part of the Windsor framework. But it didn't foresee, obviously, economic uncertainty of the scale that we have right now.
Michael Owen of the IDA was with us earlier, and he's talking about, you know, last night heralds a complete change in the globe and in global economics. And just as an example, he told us that in the first quarter of this year, 30 to 50% of the capital investment that was anticipated into the FDI in this country, that did not happen. That's the uncertainty that this has created. If that continues through the year, what do you anticipate in terms of jobs going in this sector, or even industry going or not arriving here?
Well, I continue to see, and the modelling we've done through our department, we are seeing jobs growth continuing very strongly. Obviously, this will present a significant challenge. But to elaborate on Michael's comments, first of all, in relation to research, development and innovation, we've seen a 400% increase in our economy over the last decade. And I know from sitting at Cabinet, that has continued at pace this year. It's held up remarkably well, which is very important.
You're predicting job growth in the FDI sector this year, are you?
I would hope we will have jobs growth, absolutely. I know there are...
You don't see a contraction.
I know there are at least 10 companies that are making decisions now, hopefully, to come into our economy. I was in Galway last Monday, 175 jobs being announced there in the heart of the city.
From the United States?
Not all from the United States, but the key issue there are a number of them from the United States, but what Michael was alluding
and
to
with
there...
how many jobs?
If there are 10 companies in the final stages
of negotiation to come to this country, I think people are interested on a day like today to know more about that.
Absolutely.
When they might arrive,
and we
where they
provide
might
that
come
information.
To.
First of all, I would say, obviously...
And the sectors that they're in. Sorry.
Mary, if you would please stop talking over me, please. First of all, there are a number of US companies that are making decisions about coming into the Irish market. I can't tell you the names of those companies because obviously they're commercially sensitive. But what I can assure the Irish people that we have a pipeline, not only in terms of companies making decisions, which were put off because of this uncertainty. Mm-hmm. That's one of the key things that will happen, at least last night, is there's a certain crystallisation of certainty and business really wants certainty. But we just have to be careful how the EU responds. Okay. But what I'm being clear to people is that I still see a pipeline for US investment into our economy. It will be challenged. And one of the key areas on the secondary issues that I would be concerned about is Singapore having 10% of a tariff because they are a significant competitor. So we need to ensure that we control the problems we can, really work on our action plan and competitiveness, which we are right across government,
and continue certainty in our economy. Coming down in the immediate future.
Potentially a number of industries. We would hope, and our idea plan, we have a growth pattern for 75,000 new jobs over the next 5 years. So we will see investment. Ireland is open for investment. We have certainty. We have access to a marketplace of half a billion in the EU, which they're regulated for.
Thank you. Minister Peter Burke, thank you for coming into us.